Our scripture reading is taken from Exodus 16, verses 17 and 18. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, once again, I thank Thee that we are in Your presence, that we have come here because we love Thee and You love us. We come because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His calling, the sacrifice on Calvary's cross made for all of mankind, and that we had the assurity of one day that we will be with our Lord. We thank Thee that we are people of the Sabbath, and that through the power and how we might represent the kingdom of God, searching for these lost souls, allowing the Holy Spirit to be the ones to monitor us, as well as convicting others to turn to the living Savior, to the bread of life. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. We turn to chapter 6 of John. We'll be going to a couple other places too, but chapter 6 of John. And that chapter 6 is where they talk about the feeding the 5,000 people. It was probably more than that because they usually talk when they use numbers. Many of the times they're talking about the men. So then they had their families and such, so it might have been many more than that. But we're able to see a new portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's presented in these passages as Christ as being the bread of life. And it's an interesting portrayal of Jesus Christ, since bread is a substance that is known and used by every society on earth. Bread is one of the few foods that the digestive system can tolerate. Also, bread is a satisfying quality that few other food products have. So we know that we need to see that. And so when it is taken into consideration, it's obvious when Jesus is portrayed as the bread of life. One, we need to see that Jesus is still today the bread of life. He is what the whole world needs. And He satisfies those who partake of Him. And I pray that each one of us are partaking of Him daily. There isn't a person in the world, some may dispute this, but there isn't a person in the world who can't tolerate Him. And there is anyone in the world that will like Him if they meet Him in the right and proper perspective. Therefore, we need to spend a few moments on these verses to see about Jesus as the bread of life. We need to be able to look at the personality of heaven's bread. Heaven's bread is a person. Verses 34 and 35 tells us in chapter 6 there. 34 and 35. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. According to these verses, the bread of life is not a system or a denomination, but a person that we all can relate to. The truth reminds us that we can never be saved from some religious system or method. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ and Him alone in Acts 4:12. He is also, heaven's bread has His power that as I read there in verse 35, never hunger or thirst. This has the power to save, to secure, and satisfy every sinner who comes to Jesus by faith. Heaven's bread has a great promise. Verses 47 through 55. 47 through 55. For verily, verily, I say unto you, that he who believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whereso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. What a promise that our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. See that? These verses tell us that heaven's bread gives life to humanity. And without this bread of life, we know that we are lost. Physical bread can sustain humans for a long period of time. But after a time, even the body with all this food does die. On the other hand, Jesus is the bread of life that does give us eternal life, everlasting life that we may have. But we know that heaven's breath has a price. In verse 53, as I just read, eat the flesh and drink the blood. Before heaven's bread can be enjoyed by the sinner, we have to receive the giver. We have to receive that bread. And today that we know that we have that bread right here in this book, from cover to end, we have the bread right here with us. Sounds simple, but we know that there's many that stumble over this. There's many that believe that Jesus was real, that he died on the cross, that he even arose from the dead. But it's difficult for them to accept his sacrifice and the salvation he offers. But to be born again, we must come to him by faith and accept his sacrifice. We need to look at the presence of the heaven's bread also, as illustrated by the miracles in verses 1 through 13. And that's the feeding of the 5,000. We won't read that. Arlene has already gone over that for me, so we have that. But in the feeding of the 5,000, it represented a type of himself. He cared for the multitude. He provided for the multitude and satisfied the multitude. The implication is that Jesus, like the physical loaves and fishes, is sufficient for the needs of mankind. He is also our all-sufficient Savior. In verse 11, if you will look there, verse 11. You can notice that everyone took as much as they would. And after that, they had filled themselves. They were still in abundance left over in verse 13. Jesus is sufficient for the needs of the whole world. Not one needs to be left out. All the multitude had to do was receive what the disciples handed out. And it works the same way for sinners. Lost souls need only to reach out and receive that bread of life in that short of salvation in Ephesians 2, verses 18 and or 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Heaven's bread is illustrated by the manna in verses 30 through 33. If you look at that, 30 through 33. They said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thee then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread of heaven. We see that that is true, to do that and know that. In manna, from the Strong's dictionary in Hebrew means whatness. In the Greek, edible, gum-like food. It also tells us as a noun, the supernaturally provided food for Israel during their wilderness journey. Psalm 78, 24, and 25 calls it the corn of heaven and angels' food. 1 Corinthians 10, 3, spiritual meat. The Lord speaks of it as being typical of himself, the true bread from heaven, imparting eternal life and substance to those who by faith partake spiritually of him. And it's also called the hidden manna. So we see that. So we know that. And we see that the Jews came to Jesus and requested a miracle. It must be to them that the miracle of feeding the 5,000 was not good enough for them. So that they reminded Jesus of the Old Testament miracle of the manna. They told Jesus that Moses gave manna to the children. And they wanted to know what he was going to give them. And we see that Jesus responds and reminds them that Moses was not the gave them the manna. It was God that gave them the manna that fed them all. He went on to tell them that the true bread from heaven was a person. In fact, Jesus Christ, as I've already said, is the bread of life in verse 33. Jesus was telling them that the bread was a type of him himself. And so we see that. Manna was misunderstood by most of the people. Exodus 16, as we read in verse 15, they called it manna, which means, what is it? Jesus was misunderstood by the very people he came to save. John 1, 11, his own received him not. Verse 10, chapter 10, verse 20, he hath a devil, he is mad, why hear ye hear him? So even his own people was ready to turn him away, turn away from him. But we know that this bread is sufficient for all of man's needs. Exodus 16, 17, and 18, our scripture reading for today. Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. He meets the needs of every person. Some may really be into being a Christian. Others may play around the edges. But heaven, you find for yourself. And as long as you believe in Jesus Christ, you will find that it is sufficient for all to be able to see whether full Christians are just working around the edges. It also tells us in verse 31 of chapter 16 that it was sweet to the taste. They found it sweet and satisfying and tasted like honey. But in the same way, all those who receive Jesus as their Savior find him sweet to the soul and satisfying to the life if we truly have that faith and a belief in who Jesus Christ is. That's why David told us to taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalms 34, 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. Now we're also told to keep it for generations and pass it on to others in verse 32. And it's the same with Jesus. We need to save them. We need to impress upon others about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, what he can do for each one of them. He is to be shared with all those that we encounter. We are to share him with those who don't know him. 2 Timothy 2:2. If you would turn there, please. 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And yes, we need to be able to teach others also. See that. The bread is illustrated by the master, verses 52 through 58 there of John 6. I'll let you read that yourselves when you go home this afternoon to see that. Ellen White said this is eating the fruit of the tree of life. Jesus says that he is the ultimate bread that each one of us needs. The Israelites ate manna in the wilderness, but they eventually died. The multitude ate the loaves and fishes, and they eventually died also. We see that Jesus is the anti-type of the manna. All that it was, he exceeds. Jesus is greater than all the bread that was distributed on the mountaintop. All who partake of him will live forever. He guarantees that we will never die. That's a concept that we can't understand, that we will never die. We know that death is coming, is upon the world. We see death every day in our lives, and that they'll live forever. What an opportunity, what a promise that God has given to us here now upon this earth. We see the performance of heaven's bread also. It grants salvation. As I read there in verse 51, we'll read that again, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died on Calvary's cross for the world, for each and every one of us. And we should reward him by giving us our love to him, giving to him our very lives. And I pray that we do. One of the great privileges of being human is to try any method of salvation that we decide to make. God created us with free will. It's our choice whether we want to follow Jesus Christ or not, whether we want to partake of that bread of life. But I pray that each one of us here this morning will grasp hold of it and take and do eat of it. But regardless of the life or the path that we choose, salvation is never produced any other way but unless we come to Jesus Christ by faith. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven giveth among men whereby we must be saved. And also the most well-known verse, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. He gives satisfaction, verse 35, I already read that a couple times, the bread of life, never hunger, never thirst. Those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ are eternally satisfied. We no longer have to drink from this broken cistern of the world. Instead, they find themselves tapped into the source of life and a blessing that never runs dry. To come with these, there is abundant satisfaction in the person of Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And finally, it guarantees our security, verses 37 through 40. These verses tells us beyond a shadow of a doubt that those who are placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ don't have to worry about being cast away or forgotten along the way or at the end. Faith in Jesus Christ guarantees us a perfect and absolute life with our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that each one of us will be there. We say that we will meet on the sea of glass. I hope that everyone there, that we will see and know each other. What a promise that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. And from these verses, we can see that Jesus Christ is the only hope for each and every one of us. He is what our souls need before we can experience eternal life. We need to give our lives over to him willingly. What have you done with Jesus? Have you received him into your heart and life? Do you know Jesus, the bread of life? In a personal way, I pray that each one of us does. Yes, our Heavenly Father, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, the bread of life, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.